I just bless every gift and every giver, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. And Lord, when we sow into your kingdom, Father, we will reap in our lives. And Lord, you will multiply our seed sown. And you will cause us to have all grace, abound toward us, that we have all sufficiency in all things, that we can abound to every good work. And we bless you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been talking about some things that we can do to release God's power in our community. Amen. God has given us the tools and the equipment necessary to change things. We can change atmospheres. We can change circumstances. And of course, you know, God can change people's hearts. And I'll mention some things before we get into where we want to go tonight. Number one is we need to have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, when God poured out his Spirit on all flesh, there was a tremendous result that occurred. 3,000 people got born again. They went from 120 to 3,120 in one moment because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And, you know that the Holy Spirit's already been poured out. God doesn't have to pour him out again. But we just need to work with him. Let him lead and guide you. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And then number two, we saw how faith in the name of Jesus, it brought healing. And it caused people in the community to come and hear the message of God. So we got to have faith in his name. And then Peter and John, the people saw that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they saw there was one thing that they noticed, that they had been with Jesus. Imagine how your life can be transformed by just being with Jesus. I mean, you when you leave Jesus' presence, you are not the same. Amen? You are transformed and conformed to his image and in his likeness, and you might even glow. Like Moses did when he was on Mount Sinai for 40 days. And then tonight, what we're going to talk about is corporate prayer. I'll tell you what, when we come together and call upon God as one voice with one heart for one cause, it will cause God to release his power. All right, there's power in corporate prayer. We're going to learn about that tonight. And then we have to be united together for God's cause. How many know that God's got a cause? And God's cause is greater than one person. But it is for many when we come together. The Bible talks about those who favor God's righteous cause. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of it because those who favor, how many favor God's righteous cause? God's cause is righteous. And when we unite together for his cause, it does great things. And then finally, we have to get back to the fear of the Lord. Amen? If you want to change your community, let the fear of the Lord come in. And we'll see how the fear of the Lord came in, and it got the community's attention. Amen? So let's talk about corporate prayer tonight. And, you know, there's a power released when people come together. Let's go to the book of Acts. And we've been looking at different things. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. So, when we come together and pray for a specific thing, you know, God is into unity. And when you get a group of people who love Jesus and who are speaking the same thing, God promises us that he's going to be in the midst and he's going to do what he's going to make it good. He's going to answer that like only he can. Acts 1:14. These all, everybody say these all. These all. So we're talking about more than one, right? Yeah. What did these all do? They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. You ever been in a prayer meeting and you wish, like, how long is this thing going to go? Well, they were in a prayer meeting for days. How do I know that? Jesus told his disciples, he said, go to the city of Jerusalem and wait for the promise of my Father. And we know that from the time that he resurrected to the time that he ascended into heaven, it was 50 days, right? So they were there for days, but they continued, amen? They just kept on. They kept, and what were they doing? They were prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And there was about 120 of them that were gathered together, and they were praying, all right? So they had united prayer, and they were praying, and they were praying about the promise of the Father, and, God did great things as a result of them coming together in prayer. We know that they were united together, and then the day of Pentecost came, and every one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit. And every one of them spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they preached a powerful sermon. So we want to tap into this power that's in united prayer. Andrew Murray said this, "As a tree has its roots hidden in the ground and its stem growing up into the sunlight, so prayer needs equally for its full development the hidden secrecy in which the soul meets God alone and the public fellowship with those who find in the name of Jesus their common meeting place." How many know that we both need prayer in secret and public prayer? There's a time for both, okay? And we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You know, when we live in the presence of Jesus and in the fellowship of other believers, that's really what gives united prayer its power. It's when you get a group of people who love the same person, speak the same thing, think the same things, and, God's power is released on the scene. And, our uniting, the point that we unite in is the name of Jesus. If your common denominator is Jesus, then I can work with you. Amen. Doesn't matter what you look like, what background you're from, what church you go to. If you're a Jesus lover and a Jesus follower, hey, then we can make some things happen. Amen. It's like a bag of popcorn. When you introduce heat to popcorn, all the kernels in the bag start to pop, don't they? They get excited, and that's kind of like how we need to be in united prayer. We need to be like a bag of popcorn, and the Holy Ghost is the heat. And when we come together, we start popping for Jesus. Amen? Whew, I want to pop for Jesus. It is in the unity of faith and the love of the Spirit and the power of the name of Jesus and the presence of Jesus that the answer comes more surely. All right? And how do you know that people have been in united prayer? Because results occur. Things happen. All right? And we're going to look at a few examples. Did you know that God rules the world by the prayers of his saints? John Wesley said that it's almost as if God's hand waits for his saints to pray before he moves in the affairs of men. So that's a lot of power. That's a lot of responsibility. God rules the world by his saints' prayers. That's awesome. Prayer is the power by which Satan is conquered. Whoo! You can launch, we have our own drones that we can launch called prayer and praise. And we can launch them and hit targets of darkness. And we can obliterate them. Because we have greater things than smart bombs. We have prayer in the name of Jesus. And our prayers can truly change things. All right, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I was there, and then I lost my place, and now I got to get back there. This is a great example of some united prayer. Verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. When you've got three things, three enemies attacking you all at once, how many know that this is a time for prayer? When you got three major things that are happening, your life is in danger. Your inheritance is in danger. There are enemies gathering against you. They want to destroy you. They want to dispossess you. But how many know that we have an answer? And our answer is prayer. Okay? Verse 2, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea, on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. I'll tell you what, your first reaction may be to fear, but in order to conquer that fear, you got to set yourself to seek the Lord. Okay? And when you set yourself to seek the Lord, fear will not hang around. Fear will depart. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Why didn't he fast alone? Because there are times when it is necessary to get others involved in your situation. It's called united prayer. There are times when the prayer of the individual isn't enough. It needs a corporate anointing. It needs people coming together. Listen, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight, when you get people coming together in this type of agreement, in this type of accord, as being one, I'm telling you, God's power will be manifested. And the miraculous will happen. So he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He was the king, and he was getting people on his side, okay? Verse 4, Judah gathered themselves together. What did they do? They came together. United prayer is people coming together to pray about the same thing. It's people of like precious faith. And they're coming together for a specific purpose. They gather themselves together, why? To ask help of the Lord. How are you going to handle three enemies? I have no idea, but God knows. So we're just going to gather to ask help from God. So their purpose in uniting for prayer was to ask for help because these enemies were advancing against them. Okay? So their purpose was to ask help of God. And how many know our God is a very present help in trouble? When trouble comes, all you got to do is ask God. He says, I'm already here. What do you want me to do? All right? Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Incredible. All the cities of Judah. I don't know how many cities were in Judah. But you're talking about a lot of people gathering together. Why? To ask help for the Lord. You know, Jehoshaphat didn't have cell phone. They didn't have TV. They didn't probably have a newspaper. But when the king issues a decree, there are messengers that go forth, and the people heard the message, and they started to gather. Okay? And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord. So they were standing, and here was their leader before the new court, and they began to pray. O Lord God, our Father, he begins to exalt God. You are God in heaven. Listen, when you come together in prayer, the first thing you want to do is you want to exalt the Lord. That's what we were doing just a few moments ago, right? We were exalting the Lord. Okay? And you rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen. And in your hand, is there not power and might, so that the name that none is able to withstand you? Are you not our God? Notice he makes it personal. You're our God. If God before you, who can be against you? Okay? And he goes on, And they're praying, you know, he's leading because he's the king, and everybody's in sync, everybody's in harmony, everybody's in one accord. They're like, yes, yes, okay? And verse 10, now behold, the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come and cast us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. You know, just because the enemy attacks you doesn't mean that you have to let them win. Say, I don't think so, enemy. You are not coming in here to take what's mine, to take what God has given me. I don't think so. All right? Look at verse 15. Well, verse 14, then God sends a prophetic word. See, when they were united together in one accord because enemies were coming. And they didn't know how they were going to fight. They didn't know what they were going to do, but they knew that God knew. How many of you, that's all you need to know. All right? And they began to seek God together. So this guy gets a word, Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, and he said, hearken, you all of Judah. Notice, God heard all of them, didn't he? And you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, God addresses everybody who's praying, everybody who comes together. You know, when you all come together, you get the same reward. Okay? And thus says the Lord unto you, be not afraid or dismayed. That sounds like God to me. Yeah. First thing that he does is he deals with the fear. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. I don't care how big the enemy thinks he is. Don't be afraid of his size. Don't be afraid of his number. Don't be afraid of his weapons. Okay? Now, would they have gotten the prophetic word if they hadn't come together in prayer? Probably not. How do you know when to come together in united prayer? The Holy Spirit will direct you. He's the best conductor there ever is, there ever was, and there ever will be. Amen. He said, the battle is not yours, but God's. Woo, I'm so glad that the battle's not mine. Amen. Say, the battle's not mine. But he said, tomorrow, go down against them. Sometimes in the battle, all you have to do is show up. But I want you to notice that they had a direct answer directly related to the united prayer that they were offering to God. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. See, God knew exactly where, he knew where they were going to come. And you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Now, it's very important. Some battles you need to fight in, and some battles you don't, but you got to listen to the voice of God. You can't go by your experience. Well, I faced this enemy before like this, so I'm just going to do the same thing. That may not be what God wants. I want you to notice, they set themselves to seek God. Okay? Well, you won't need to fight in this. Praise God. Amen. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. All you had to do was show up and be still. You show up on the battlefield, and you look your enemy right in the eye. You just let him know that you're not afraid. Doesn't matter how they look. Doesn't matter how they sound. Doesn't matter how many of them. Doesn't matter how big some of them are. God gave them a specific instruction as a direct answer to their united prayer. Okay? And then verse 18, And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They honored God for his response. They called on God, and they honored God together. They were all bowing before the Lord. They were all worshiping God. Okay? And so they rose early in the morning. And Jehoshaphat, he encouraged him with the word, believe in the prophets, and you'll be established. Believe in the Lord your God, and you'll be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. How many believe in his prophets? Do you know that if you believe in the prophets, you'll prosper? Well, I can't believe God wants me to prosper. Well, he does. And we know the story. What did Jehoshaphat do? He sent the praisers out before the warriors. What kind of battle strategy is that? Sending out the praisers before the warriors. Did you know that praise is the highest form of prayer? What was Jehoshaphat doing? He was launching his drones. He was launching his quote-unquote air force. His invisible air force were the prayers of the people. As they were praising God, God was stirring up the angelic host, and they were working behind the scenes. And as the praisers went out, the enemy didn't know what to do. The enemy got confused. And how long did it take Jehoshaphat to gather the spoil? 3 days. Why did it take 3 days? There was so much stuff to gather. Listen, when your enemy tries to defeat you, God will defeat him and you'll collect his stuff. So if the enemy attacks you, know that you got something coming to you. And it was all because they had corporate prayer. Do you see the power that was released when they came together to pray as one for one cause? What was their prayer? We want to ask help for God. We're going to have a prayer meeting in Palmyra, and we want to ask help from God. And we just come together, and we just have a good time in the Lord, praising him, acknowledging him. Did you know if you acknowledge God in all your ways, he will direct your paths? Isn't that what he did for Jehoshaphat? Amen. Go with me to Acts 12. Acts chapter 12. See, when you unite together in prayer, you will secure a special answer from God. Sometimes answers come in corporate prayer in greater ways than they come in individual prayer. And you just have to listen to the Holy Spirit to determine which one is necessary for that moment. You got to be in tune with the Holy Ghost. You can't rely on your experience. You can't rely on your own knowledge. You can't rely on your strength. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by what? It's by the Spirit of God. O Zerubbabel. You want to make a mountain into a molehill? The Holy Ghost knows exactly how to do it. He knows the weakest point of that mountain, and he can just move that mountain right out of your way and make it into a molehill. You know, a molehill is a lot better to get over than a mountain, isn't it? You may have some things that are like mountains in your life. Maybe you have a mountain of debt, and you don't know how you're going to get out of debt. God knows. You need to get some people of like faith who believe in prosperity. You need to get them together, and together you need to call upon God and let God lead God and direct you and show you his power. Because God has a way out. No man is an island to himself. Acts chapter 12. And let's look at verse 2. Herod, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further. What a sick individual. He saw that people took pleasure in James being killed, so he keeps killing people. That is a demonic spirit. So he proceeded further to take Peter also. Now these were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. That's four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. What was his intent? He wanted to kill Peter. If he got such a good response for killing James, he said, well, maybe if I kill Peter, I'll get a greater response. Okay? Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but, everybody say but. Can your prayers change governments? Absolutely. See, we don't have to take things lying down as believers. We need to get on our knees and fight like a man. Yes, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made how? Without ceasing of who? Is that one or more than one? So the church got together, and they weren't going to stop praying until Peter got out of prison. Okay? They came together in united prayer, and they prayed unto God for him, for Peter. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. How can you sleep if you're in prison? When you know God, you can sleep in the midst of lions. You can use lions as a bed and a pillow, and they won't hurt you. Doesn't he give you peace that passes understanding? And doesn't that peace keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus? Peter was sleeping. And he was between two soldiers bound with chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. So he was in between two soldiers, and there was two guards at the front of the prison. Okay? Why do you need so many guards for one person? Because Peter was a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Why did the angel of the Lord go to him? Because the church was praying. They got together and they had a prayer meeting. And when everybody came to the prayer meeting, they put their watches in a basket. They took all the clocks off the walls. Come on. And they were determined to pray without ceasing. Isn't that what the Bible says in Thessalonians? Pray without ceasing. Listen, when you're in the midst of trouble, it may require more prayer. It may require more than a minute, more than an hour, more than a day. Obviously, Peter was in prison for a few days. And the night before he was going to be taken out by Herod, that's when the angel of the Lord showed up. How do you know that God's right on time? So the angel of the Lord came, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side. I'm just going to use Elliot. He's like, wake up, Peter. Peter was sleeping so sound that the angel had to smite him. He had to hit him on the side. Wake up. And he raised him up, saying, arise, up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Can you see the power of united prayer working? Peter was in an impossible situation with a crazy madman for a leader named Herod. He was being motivated by a demonic spirit, but the church said the demon isn't going to win. Matter of fact, we're going to go into the enemy's camp and we're going to take back what's ours. How did they do it? They did it through united prayer. All right? And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself, bind on your sandals," and so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast your garment about you and follow me." And he went out and followed him and knew not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Peter, hey, he hadn't even woke up yet. But the prayers were so powerful that God sent the angel of the Lord into that prison in direct response to their prayers. Because when you pray in agreement as touching anything, Jesus said, it'll be done by my Father which is in heaven. Okay? So, when they were past first the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leads unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. I'm telling you, united prayer can open up iron gates. It can loose chains that bound you. It can set you people free. Well, why isn't that happening now? Because we're not coming together like we should. Because people got too many things going on other than, they got too many things to do than pray like this. I mean, this is not your drive-through prayer. This is some serious praying. Let me tell you something. There are times when you need some serious prayer. Some no-nonsense prayer. Right? That you're gonna pray until heaven comes to where you are. God needs some people that can bring heaven down to where they need to be, to earth. We can bring God's presence down. Isn't that what happened? I mean, God sent an angel from heaven. He took the elevator right down to the prison. And iron gates, chains just fell off. Iron doors just opened. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. His job was done. Peter was free. He passed through all the guards, passed through the chains, passed through the gates. He's out of the prison. And then Peter said, when Peter was coming to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." You see how God delivered him from these things? "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." Everybody say, many gathered together praying. "And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told Peter how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, 'You are mad,' but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. They said, then said they, 'It is his angel.'" Man, you got enough faith to expect his angel to show up. "But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished." It was all because of the power of prayer. Corporate prayer, united prayer, coming together for a specific purpose, for a specific reason, with intense, fervent prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes power readily available to you. We got any righteous people here? Amen. We got some people who love Jesus. Amen. We got some people who know how to talk to Jesus. Amen. Then we have all that we need right here to have corporate prayer. Amen. And I want to tell you something. 30 days from now, we get to celebrate our greatest day, which is Resurrection Day. And wouldn't it be awesome if we just come together some extra times on Sundays and Wednesdays and whenever we have a meeting, we just need some people to come together to pray that we have the greatest Easter, the greatest Resurrection Day ever. where God's miraculous power is released, where people get born again, where people are stirred up to come and attend church, amen? Why don't we start praying for that right now? Why don't you stand up with me if you can stand up? And let's bring our request before the Lord and let's call upon Him. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, You're the great and awesome God. And Father, tonight we enter in to an agreement, Lord, that this resurrection day in 2014 here at Victory Christian Fellowship is going to be the most powerful, the most awesome, the most wonderful display of Your glory and Your goodness and Your miraculous power that we've ever seen in the name of Jesus. And Father, we call upon You right now and we ask You, Lord, to move by Your Holy Spirit, to move on the hearts of people. Lord, draw the people in that need to know Your name, that need to get born again, that need to get filled with the Holy Spirit, that need to be healed, that need to be touched from Almighty God in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that the walls that are separating them from You to be broken down in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give You thanks and praise that it is Your desire that none should perish, none should go to hell, but that all should come to repentance. And Father, we cry out to You tonight in united prayer in the name of Jesus. We ask You, Lord, to stretch forth Your hand and to heal and to deliver and to set free and to fill and to touch and to resurrect in the name of Jesus. Father, we call upon You and we say, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, cause the lame to walk in the name of Jesus. Cause demons to be cast out, Father, in Jesus' name. We give You thanks and praise that You have given to us freely of Your goodness and of the use of Your name and of the use of Your authority. And we can go forth and speak the name of Jesus with power and authority, just like Jesus did when He walked this earth. And we give You thanks and praise, Father, that tonight, in the name of Jesus, You will hear our prayers. You will hear our voice, Father. Because our voice will be to You as one voice, with one heart, with one goal in mind, Father. We want Jesus to be exalted here. We want Your will to be done here, Father. We want lives to be transformed in the name of Jesus. We want enemies to be defeated, Father. We want people to receive their inheritance in the name of Jesus. We call upon You, Almighty God. And we thank You, Lord, that You are good and greatly to be praised. And we give You thanks and praise that we can unite together in prayer. We can call upon You, Lord, and You can do great and mighty things. Lord, You can show us things that we do not know. You can reveal things. You can bring us into a greater degree of truth in the name of Jesus. You can lead us by Your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that people young and old, Lord, that they, when they come here, they will hear the word of the Lord and their hearts will be touched and they'll have to make a decision for You, Father, in the name of Jesus. And they'll want to accept You as their Savior. They'll want to accept You as their healer. They'll want to accept You as their deliverer. They'll want to accept You as their baptizer. They'll want to accept You as their King in the name of Jesus. And we give You thanks and praise, Father, that any words that have been spoken against us, Lord, every tongue that rises up in judgment against us will be condemned. And we thank You, Lord, that You break the jaw of those who speak evil against us in the name of Jesus. We put to silence the enemy and his words, Father. Cause his words to just fall to the ground in Jesus' name. And we thank You, Lord, that You are a shield and a buckler about us in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank You that atmospheres will change. Circumstances will change. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus that family members and friends that we know who are bound by chains, who are imprisoned, who are locked up and ready to be destroyed by the enemy, you will send your angel and you will deliver them. You will rescue them from the pit. You will rescue them from the fire. You will bring them into the lights. You will bring them out of darkness. Now, if you feel like God is speaking to you something that are along the lines of what we're praying about, just want you to be bold and share it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't stop praying. But if someone has something from the Lord, just come on up and share it right now. Glory to God. Some of you are familiar with situations where you don't know what to do. I'm giving you something to do about the situations that you don't know what to do with right now. Amen? What do you do about something you don't know what to do with? You get some people together who have like precious faith and you call upon the name of the Lord. You come together united in prayer and you let God move on your behalf. See, they didn't get people together to complain or to gossip. They got people together to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Seeking God's will in my life. Set me free.
I need a couple people to come up here right now. Paul, come. Dottie, come. Lisa, come. Nadine, come. Bill is facing some things that are overwhelming. And so, Father, right now, we just want to join with Bill for victory in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you thanks and praise that you will strengthen Bill with might in his inner man by the Holy Ghost. And, Father, that you will show him a way out. God always has a way out of things. God always has a way to defeat enemies. And just like Jehoshaphat, no matter what has come against you, you will find deliverance and freedom as long as you hear the voice of God and you do what he says in the name of Jesus. So, Father, bring him up out of the miry clay right now. I just pray in the name of Jesus that he stops spinning his wheels, Father, that he can move forward into the things of God in the name of Jesus. Strengthen him right now, Father. We uphold him. And we just pray the Lord that you touch him with your power right now in Jesus' name and deliver him, Father. Rescue him, Father, from darkness in the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks and praise right now that you give him the victory in Jesus' name. Oh, thanks be unto God. He always causes you to triumph.
Amen.
He always causes you to triumph.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
He'll show you exactly what you need to do.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Anybody have anything? Just going to give you a moment. Someone has something, just come on up and share it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So here's what we want to do. I'm going to give you some instructions like Jehoshaphat gave to Judah and Jerusalem. So if anybody can come like an hour before on a Wednesday or a Sunday, we're going to have this room, the kids' room, that doesn't have anything in it. It's the first of the double room over here. Toddler's room, yes. And we're going to have that available, and that's going to be reserved just to come in and pray before times that you would normally be here, amen? And we're asking to make a sacrifice and to really pray specifically for our resurrection day. We want to see the sick cured, the dead raised, the lepers cleansed, demons drove out, and pray that people would become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And then we want to invite people to church on that day. Amen? So, and then if you can't come here and pray, you can always pray at home. But 30 days, I'm asking you to spend more time in prayer than you normally would over the next 30 days. And we want to pray for the miraculous to move in our midst. Amen? So does everybody understand that? Okay. And you're going to get further information on that in your emails. And if you don't get emails from us, just let us know and we can get that to you. But yeah, we've seen a lot of people get born again on Resurrection Day. That's a great day to get born again, amen? And the whole month of April, we're going to be talking about heaven. So, we'll get you ready to look forward for Jesus' return and what we have to look forward to. Amen? So who's with me? If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, so for the next 30 days, we're going to spend more time in prayer. And if whoever can, like, come early for a service, and time that you would have spent fellowship and whatever, spend that time praying. Amen? And we're going to see what God does on Resurrection Day. And I believe that, and really, the Lord just kind of really laid this on my heart today, this afternoon. So, thank God that we can just put it together and implement it. Amen? Amen? So, I'm so glad that you guys are here tonight. And we look forward to, I see the day when our Wednesdays are packed out. When our Sundays are packed out. When we got so much traffic, we got to have people directing traffic out on Ridge Road. Amen? And, but it's, we have to come together and pray for those things. It's not just going to, I know it's not just going to happen automatically. Sometimes my mindset is like, oh, well, that'll just happen. No, it won't just happen. Every once in a while, I need a swift kick in the cans too. Amen? But I'm believing for great things. So we saw the results of the United Prayer. And God's going to do, He is doing amazing things. So bless you. May the Lord keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and give you peace. So have a good night. Amen.